All right, I want to first say that when I was 8 years old, my dad and mom, they bought us Bibles, and the first Bible I ever had was a 1611 authorized version, and it had the usher's dates on it. So you read Genesis 1:1, and there you have it. Right at the top, 4004, and I always wondered, how do you come up with the 4004? Now, on these charts, I've taken off the 4 for Bollinger's and Usher's dates. The reason I did that is because on the P. Bagby charts, the dates are from the birth of Christ. Those are Bible years. From Adam to the birth of Christ was 4,000 years. That's biblical. To say 4 BC to me is, that's putting man into it a little bit. But the reason why, though, is the numbers come out more clear when you do it that way, when you leave. But also, it's easier to add 4 than to subtract it. So all you got to do on Usher's and Bollinger's is add 4 to these numbers. But again, I did that for comparison purposes. And also, I only put the P on the Bagby because I didn't want B. Bagby to get the blame for any, any indiscretions, I guess you would say. If you will go to the first chart, and that's the Usher-Bollinger chart, and I'll make a couple of comments about that. First of all, you can see that they're both identical. That Usher, who spent quite a few years, by the way, before he published his book, he dedicated quite a long time to the study of chronology. And So Bollinger adopted it up to the entry, up to the entry in the land, and then everything changed. Yeah, and I know Ron taught on the low AMI periods, and so that's one of the things that came out right away. But let me say something more about this chart. Now, if you see the Roman numeral 1 and 2 at the top, those are 1,000 years each. And each bar graph, each line is 500 years, which is a quincentennial, each of those. So I labeled those so that we could reference it a little bit easier. Now, one of the things that has to be accomplished, as you know, is, you have to meet all scripture. And I feel like I've done that. I feel like I've done that on my charts, that every time slot in the Bible has been accounted for on that chart. Now, but we'll go back to the Usher-Bollinger chart here. And if you notice on the first 1,000 years, it's nothing but birth. This guy, came after that guy and so forth all the way down. And then finally Adam died. I hope I didn't, I did. I've got 970 on Adam. See, I'm already finding errata. It's actually 930 on Adam. But then on the second millennia, you see everybody starting to die off. Shem, Enos, Canaan, Mahalalel, Jared, and so forth. They started dying off. And what I'd like to suggest there is that as they died off, the Nephilim got more and more intense as the bloodline of Christ died off. Now, you'll see that all the way up to the flood, there's only two generations all the way up to the flood. You take Adam to Methuselah or Lamech, either one. Then that one goes all the way past Shem. Then you can take Shem all the way to the entry. And so, So that's how the truth got spread. Now, there were some bad seed lines in this. If you look at Abraham's family tree from the flood down, it's Shem, Arphaxad, Salah, Eber. Eber was, that's a separate study I'm not going to go into much, but he was the last good guy. And the Table of Nations in Genesis 10, where it's talking about Shem, it talks about that Shem was the father of all the children of Eber, and Abraham was the first man to ever be called a Hebrew. But Peleg means division. And we recognize that, and that you see it shaded there. There's a whole shaded portion there. 239 years is how long he lived. But there's not only division on the land that divided, he also lived concurrently with the Tower of Babel. And when all of the languages got spread, there was division. But there's another suggestion here from Peleg on down to Terah, because we already know in Joshua 24:2 that those beyond the river Euphrates, they served other gods. But I just wanted to throw that out for now, but that's a little bit longer study. But then we go on to, I guess that's good for chart one. Let's go to chart two, which is Usher. And I just want to point out a couple of things that Bullinger, okay, I'm back on. If you're on chart two, go ahead and look at Ru on down. Now look at that. Eber outlives all these people. But from Ru, and two have already dropped off. Peleg and Nahor have already dropped off. So from Ru on down, that's why I'm saying that there was that he was the father, the grandfather, we might say, of these children. Okay, so I'm going to come back to that a little later. Just that's why I brought that up. Now, one of the things you'll see here on, if you look on column G, where the temple is destroyed, that is astronomical dating. Almost every single timeline you'll ever see on the Bible has the temple destroyed at 587. Or, you know, Bullinger took it way down to 470, what was it? 477. Actually, Usher is 588. You add 4 to that number, 588. So that's astronomical. And I have studied that where they say that this is for sure. There's no way, a 10,000 to 1 chance that it couldn't be this year. And I've looked at their proof, and I can tell you it's not there. I've got so many things I'm wanting to say, I can't hardly say it. But, alright, let's stop at that. Also, you see the time of the kings, 387 years. I can tell you how I got that. You basically go to, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where he lists a king, all of the kings from David on down. From, Rehoboam on down, if you add all those dates up, you'll get that number, 387 years. And that doesn't include the 6 years of Athaliah, the queen. But, you know, who usurped the throne. Also, if you look at on column F, on the time of the judges, if you notice that, he overlapped a bunch of the judges because it wasn't fit. Basically, if you're already giving up that many years for the temple, and he gave up 130 years from Terah's birth to Abraham, That's a lot. You got to cram all of the kings and all of the judges in that little short space there that he had left over. So, in the study of the Lo Ammi, where you look up 1 Kings chapter 6 and verse 1, you see Usher just took the 480 and ran with it. He said, yeah, it says it right here in scripture. Let's just run with that. The 480 years. And that's from the time they came out of Egypt till the year of the foundation of the temple. And I think that's all I'm going to say about Usher. Other than I want to read you something out of Appendix 50 by Bullinger. And it's right in the introduction of Appendix 50. It says, in note 3, now he's talking to the people, the millions and millions of people that had the authorized version of 1611 with all of those dates of Usher's on there. Millions of those Bibles were printed. So in note 3, we see Bullinger say it, you can't use eclipses, other astronomical methods for settling biblical dates. Okay, so right off the bat, he sets that out for us. Then in chapter 6, he talks about the Lo Ammi period, where you cannot overlap these names. Okay, so that was a great, what Bullinger did took a lot of criticism. A lot of his things took criticism, but some of them are, I'd like to say they're brilliant, but the Holy Spirit had to give him some of this stuff. I don't think this is trial and error when it comes to numbers like this. I believe it's comparing the things that differ. And that's what I'm hoping to do this morning. I'm not trying to say Bullinger's wrong. I'm just bringing up why he says it and why I say it, why I'm bringing it up for questioning. Then on Bullinger's chart 2, just going ahead and look at that. That's the third chart. You'll see the 5 shaded areas on the column F. If you add all of those up, it's 93 years. Those are the times that that they were Lo Ammi. And I want to get into the two calendars, because they were Lo Ammi on the governmental calendar. That verse he just put up there on 1 Kings 6:1. That's the governmental calendar. It started 40 years before they entered the land. We covered that a little bit on a previous lesson that I talked about, the birth of a nation, I called it. But they started counting the days for the Jubilee calendar. There's 30 Jubilees. And that's that calendar. That's can never be busted. Call that the Jubilees of Christ. 30 years, 30 Jubilees. There's no way that can be broken. So obviously, their governmental calendar shut down, and obviously they were still as people religiously, but I just wanted to say that because it's really not that confusing. If you look at the verses that I put in the text there, and I'm not going to go into the text tonight. I just left that just in case any of you were interested in finding the 4,000 years, because you can do it. You can see the 4,000 years at a glance pretty much if you use that method. If you use Bullinger method here, as you well know, he went through each king on column G And this king ruled in the second year of that king and back and forth from Judah to Israel. And he had added up to 403 years. So that's his method. One thing that was, if I'd use the word brilliant, that it never had been told before, is on column H, where he goes back to the year 450, or in his chart 454, the first 7 weeks, remember there were 7 weeks and there were 2 weeks. The first 7 weeks was the Ezra-Nehemiah period. That's what we call it. It's really the Nehemiah-Ezra period. And to be even more precise, it's the Esther, Nehemiah, Ezra. That's the order of the books, just the opposite as you see it. It's more like from Christ looking back instead of looking forward. So, but, and if you look under the notes in Daniel 9:25 and in that page on 454 BC, you'll see a lot of that, where he came up with that. But it's obvious. Why would you build the temple before the wall? With all of the disruptions they had as it is, I don't think it would have been possible. But, by the way, since he came out with that, quite a few people have adopted that belief that are not, you know, that don't see the mystery, that, you know, that are just students of the word. But, so you see, so it's not too hard. You take the 481 years, and you add the 93 years to it, because that was when the government was shut down. So let's add those 93 years, and we get 570. Where's my notes here? I didn't write that one. Let's see. Hold on here. What is that? 500 and I can't add. Whatever 93 plus 480 is, that's 573. So, there's 21 years that I counted that he didn't, and I'm gonna tell you why here in a minute. But, the reason he cut out those two times is because of the verse I read previously too, by the time of Jephthah, when he was in Judges, it's in chapter 11, in verse 26, where it mentions the 300 years, I have a different explanation of that than Bullinger did, and I'm going to get into that when I get to my chart. But, let's see. So, okay. Now, I know Ron went through that, you know, the Acts 13, verses 18 through 21. You have to have all those years. You have to have all those years. You can't just use the 480. Okay, so if it wasn't for Bullinger pointing that out, by the way, I would have never come up with anything. And I thought I came up with the 594 by including the other 21 years, but it turns out a man named Antsley, A-N-T-S-L-A-Y, who wrote The Romance of Bible Chronology in 1913, the same year Bullinger died. And he even gave Bullinger credit for coming up with that theory of the Lo Ammi, only he went on and did the other 21 years. But the I thought I came up with that. So everything on my chart, someone else has came up with before me. Very few things are original on this thing. Okay, what else on Bullinger? I better look at my notes here. 18 Kings. I'm not going to get into that right now. Okay, I think I've covered him pretty good. And if these charts look complicated, it really isn't. I mean, that whole column F is basically that Bible study, it's just adding up a few numbers. Fifth grade math could do the 4,000 years. There's addition, subtraction. There's multiplication on the 69 sevens, you know, not much. So it's really beneficial to study chronology. The more you know about it, the better you feel about your Old Testament knowledge, because it just gives you a better confidence in yourself and when you're placing events. Okay, now to the chart one. Okay, chart one of the PBAG beat. You'll notice that Terah was 75 years old when Abraham was born. Now, if you turn to Genesis 11:26, it says Terah was 70 when he had Abraham, Japheth, and Haran, his brother Haran. But he was the youngest. Abraham was the youngest. We know that. And a lot of people just picked the number 70, you know, as though he was a triplet. Now, if you follow the reasoning of Usher and Bullinger, it'll be 130 years because in Acts chapter 7, where Stephen said, after that his father died, Abraham entered the land. And I'd like to not prove it, but at least you be the gentleman and ladies of the jury, at least put a reasonable doubt in your mind that the 130 is not right and the 70, I mean, both of them are controversial. Put it that way. I'd like to suggest that when he said his father died, if you look, we'll get that on when we get to chart, my second chart, but Reu died right before Abraham's call. And we already read where Shem was the father of the children of Eber, which was three generations down already. So you know that in the Bible it talks about fathers, grandfathers as fathers. And Reu was the oldest living one at that point, and there's some evidence of what I'm saying, both in their names, if you take their names and put a bad connotation on it, and it also in the book of Jubilees, it which is Apocrypha, written around 120 BC, but if you look at that, it pretty much talks about them going down into Babylonia and worship, you know, each one of them had a hand in doing different things. Intermarrying. Now, if you notice, when Abraham hit the scene, they bred it back, the line back. Remember, he sent, is both Isaac and Jacob both had to go back up into, Haran, you know, to get their bloodline back, you know, when they had their, to get their wives. Okay, so that's one thing you'll notice. I also picked up 1 year at the flood, and I'll comment on that. Bullinger said there's proof that I'm just going to tell you, look on pages 48 and 49 if you want to know why I picked up the other year. Because our fax ad was after the flood. So, he has a note there on those two pages if you're interested in that. If I said when I was 20 years old, I entered the Navy for 1 year, you would know that that's dated from the day I went in. I went in the Navy for 1 year. When I got out of the Navy, 2 years after the Navy, I had my first son. So that's 2 years. You would think that was 2 years after I got out of the Navy. So I add the 1 year of the flood and the 2 years, and that's 3 years. So that's where I picked up 1 year. Another year I picked up wasn't until I did that Bible study on the entry into the land where I saw the extra 6 months or 7 months. It was the day after I gave that study that I found, after all these years, I found that extra year that I've been looking for, and I would never give this Bible study until I had that year. So the Pal Talk, in my case, in the Pal Talk group has greatly benefited me. I want to tell you that I love Bible chronology. I told Barney that I believe the Lord gave me a gift when he gave me my love for Bible chronology. I've got hundreds and hundreds of hours in it, and it's nothing but a labor of love. I love it. So I just wanted to say that, and that's why I appreciate you letting me present this. Okay, so I briefly talked about Tara's age being 75. By the way, there's I can think of 10 numbers that are multiples of 25, and you already knew that from Bullinger. But 25 is 5 times 5. That's the number of grace. And in John 1:16. It says it has grace for grace. And in one translation it says grace upon grace, but I'd rather follow Bullinger's notes on that. He gives us the grace we need according to his grace. It's grace for grace according to what we need. But that's surrounded with Abraham, that number is. Okay, enough on that. The 430 years, I think, is on column E. It's not much to that. I think you've already studied that. If you not look at the verses on the text, if you're interested in that, and Bullinger's know he does as good or better of a job as anybody of explaining that, where those 430 years are. Again, in the column F, from the time of the judges, I include the 21 years, both of, if you look down at Abimelech on about 1240, somewhere in there, it is drawn to scale, but it just, didn't have room for all those dates. But right around 1230-ish, Abimelech was a usurper for 3 years, and then you down a little bit, you see 18 years, the Philistines and the Ammonites. That's where Jephthah came on the scene. Now, if it was exactly 300 years, it would have hit the 1200 line. See the year 1200? That's where the 1199, because it happened right. It's in Numbers there, right at the end where they took over the king of the Amorites. The Amorites, not Ammonites. The Amorites had taken it from Moab. Moab and Ammon were both brothers, stepbrothers. But it had hardly been captured before Israel captured it. And God had already told them, you won't get any of that land. I've already given that to Moab and to Ammon. You won't get that land. However, this was divine in the fact that when they did take it, that is why it was justified. Here's what I think the 300 years mean. I believe there were 6 jubilees at which time all property returns to its rightful owner. And Jephthah told him, in those 300 years, and they knew it, they knew about the Jubilees because the different cities, they were intermixed actually. Israel didn't have all of it, they just had certain cities. They knew about the Jubilees, so that's how I explain the 300 years. Bullinger does it by, if you look at it, he's actually got it all tabulated there in Appendix 50. He shows how he came up with the 300 years. So all I'm doing is pointing out things that differ. But on the time of the kings, that's even easier for if you use this chart. On column G, in Ezekiel 4:5, he talks about 390 days. And I'm not the only one that used that number. No one less than Fawcett, who you know, Fawcett's Dictionary, but it was actually in the commentary by Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown, where they comment on that. And I gave a little bit of information on that in the text. So that's easy. So if you look at this chart, there really isn't much to it. There's 69 sevens to get you back to 450. The one reason I really started studying Bible, making my own chart was because of I didn't know where the 70 years were. If you look at 454 BC, in fact, if you've got a companion Bible, I'm going to go ahead and turn to that. I'm going to make a comment on the year 454. Hold on a second here. 454. Bullinger ran out of space. That's like a main junction, that date. It's or 450 on my chart. But if you look at it, all the way to the right, you see where he puts the 70 years. And the 70 years, the land has to be desolate. And that word implies burnt and dry. It won't grow. And my question was to myself, how can you live in the land if it's desolate? So you see from on that those 70 years from the year 42 on down to 70, that was the Ezra-Nehemiah period. And in Nehemiah, it talks about our orchards and our fields. And they were already coming back and settling in the land. And that's, as I say, that's what got me started on it. Cause that was the mid-90s. And, up to that time, I never questioned any of it. I thought it was, and he's got some nuggets that won't quit and some of his, on some of the problems on the kings, if you, read the notes, that other commentators, they never had answers for it. He came up with the answers. So again, I love Bullinger, and I'm not trying to make it look like, I know something more than him, because there's no way I would question him on the original language. Languages are Welsh or, there's no question about, I don't even question it. I just look at it and accept it for the most part. Maybe once or twice I've had to do that, but not much. But let's see what else we got. Let me see. I hope that's all I need to sum it up, because I really think it's that easy. I don't really think the 4,000 years are hard to dig out. Let me look at page. Let's see. Look at my notes here. All right. Here's another thing I'd like to point out. On the 30 Jubilees, look all the way at the end of the chart at the birth of Christ was the 30th Jubilee. Now, if you start stepping back, you'll see 29, 28, 27, 26, all the way back to number one, which was after they entered the land. That's what started dating it on the 7th month and the 10th day. That was the Jubilee calendar, the Jubilees of Christ. And it has to do with forgiveness, for restoration, reconciliation. It was a time of atonement. And it all speaks of Christ. And the first you have 30 jubilees to his birth, then you have 30 years to what's in Luke there called the acceptable year of the Lord, where he read out of Isaiah. And Ron also did that verse a few months ago, a study on that. So, let me see, is there anything else? Go on our calendar, Ezekiel 70. The 594, let me make another comment. On the 520, on the astronomical dating, Williams even has that. That's also for sale in your bookstore there. The Williams commentary on the Bible. He also dated the 520. I'm just saying that to let you know I didn't come up with hardly any of this. I took a few pieces and puzzles, put it together, and when it came to the 1500 years, I didn't quit till I found the 75 years that I was wanting for Terah. And you say, well, that doesn't count. We don't know that there's 4,000 years. How can you work yourself backwards? Because that's what I did. I work it from Adam to Terah, and I work it from Christ back to Abraham. And that leaves 75 years. But how do we know there's 4,000 years? Well, I don't know. I can't answer that. But that's the methodology used on this dating system of mine. I think that's it. I think that's all it is to finding the 4,000 years. I don't think there's, I think an hour or two's worth of study, a person in their own mind would feel like he knew it. Now, on the year 520, though, when the temple was destroyed, Sir Isaac Newton actually was a chronologist in his own right, and he believed that the Bible contained, the way they say it, I'd like to have heard him say it, contains mysterious numbers, or I forget how they say it, but he wrote a thesis arguing for this late date of 520, right in there of that late date. Also, Ansley argued for that date. But, he wrote a long, and they always dedicated it to the Queen. But if you can understand that book, you're better than me, because none of it has to do biblically. He tried to prove it by the Olympiads being every 4 years apart and different things like that. And he went into the datings of the kings, which they say, they say you have to use these kings' dates because we know for sure they're exactly accurate. So, he went into that. No less than Sir Isaac Newton. Also you cannot use carbon dating. Let me find a note here. Let me just say something real quick about carbon dating. Now, every day that the sun shines on the earth, gamma rays bombard us, and they bombard atoms. And their favorite target is nitrogen-14 because that's the most plentiful one available. So in the process of these gamma rays hitting this nitrogen-14, it gains a neutron and loses a proton, which means it's unstable. The end result is carbon-14. And carbon-14 is how they date, how they get all of these millions and millions of years with whatever left, whatever carbon-14 is left, that's how they say, well, that now we know how old it is. Because carbon-14 has a half-life of 5,730 years, which in the case of Bible chronology isn't hardly a factor. But if you also consider the fact, in Genesis chapter 2, in verse 4, I think it's verse 4, is it verse 4 through 10, talks about a mist that comes up from the ground. And the land was fed by a river that fed the land. And then it looked like some kind of evaporation process, that this mist going up till it hits the canopy that's spoken of in Genesis chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. Now, this canopy is not the same expanse that we have today, because there was one big landmass at the time that covered all of the land. And when all that land broke up, that canopy broke up. And I think firmament is the word used in the King James. But remember, after the flood, Genesis chapter 9, 12 through 14, that was the first rainbow. And that also answers to Genesis 7:11, where it talks about a window in heaven opening up. So for those years, all of this mist would come up to that canopy and condense perhaps on the top side and build way up into the stratosphere and above. And so that's why I'm saying, that's what I think is why they're so far off on carbon dating. Because that canopy is like sunglasses. It blocked the sun's gamma rays of hitting all of those nitrogen-14 atoms and turning it into carbon-14. So obviously, there would be less of it available. There would be less carbon-14 during those years, all the way up to the flood. So there's where Bullinger says, no, the Bible has to speak for itself. It has to come up with all of the dates on its own. And with that, I think there's more, I mean, but I don't want to go in and do a lot of mathematics and inundate you with too many numbers, because there's only a few sections there that you have to look at. But I'd like to say one other thing on a different subject. All right. Sometimes as speakers, I'm speaking about myself, I have fear before the lesson comes up. And I know for a fact that I'm not alone on that. That this certain feeling hits you. And I don't even know if I call it fear or if I call it anxiety, but it made me think of when Joshua was leading his people, you know, into battle, that the Lord was going to do the fighting, and we're fully armored. We're fully armored when we go into this battle. So when I get that feeling, I embrace it. And the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, lifts that from me almost immediately. And sometimes it's intense, and I'm telling you, I used to say, when that feeling hit me, I used to say, I love this feeling. You know, like a daredevil who likes to jump off high places. But, you know, because that made me, I used to get so nervous that, you know, when you would stammer you'd break, you could almost break and you couldn't talk. People would all look down at their Bibles, and they couldn't look at you, for they didn't want you to be overly embarrassed. That happened to me when I was younger. But I just want to say that I understand that I believe, I don't know if you call it cosmic creators or the evilness of the darkness of the world. You know, I don't know where it comes from, but I believe that we can overcome that. I believe this Pal Talk group is an army of people who are put, you know that verse, put his line out. His line went out throughout the whole world. I was talking to Tony, and we were talking about there's 4 billion people that have access to computers. And his line is going out into the whole world because of this group. And in Ephesians 4:13 talks about the unity of the Spirit. And Oscar used to say that just say it as the Lord gave it to you. He told me that more than once, several times. He came to Phoenix there. We saw the mystery in 1975. Barney actually 74. I'll tell you that story. Barney saw the mystery 3 weeks or 4 weeks after he met Jean McGowan, who is, of course, you know her as health singer. But we went to Acts 13. We went to a Bible study by a guy who in our group went out into Acts 28 teaching. So I went to his Bible study, and then Barney went to it. Immediately, Barney saw it. About a month later, he comes in with a companion Bible, and my mom's in the kitchen, and I'm standing somewhere seeing him. And Barney comes in pointing his finger at that Bible, and he says, "I see it. I see it." So I had to get on with it. I had to study why Acts 13 is right, and all I had was a guy named Baker, dispensational theology, and the only verse he had was Romans 16:25, and you can poke holes in that real quick by, you know, that's since age times, and it's a mystery. It's not the mystery, and it's not before age times. But in any case, Barney gave me a Bible that Christmas, a companion Bible. That was Christmas of 74. And he said, study, study, study. And about 6 months later after that, Phyllis Schaefer, who only came, she taught in Peru, and she only came during the summers. She came and taught a lesson on chronology, and she stood up the Bible. She held up the Bible, and she said, "You see these 11 chapters in Genesis? That's 2,000 years. Now see the rest of the Bible? That's 2,000 years." Man, I tell you, that night when I went home, I remember I stopped at some place to eat, and I was looking at this chart that I had drawn up. You know, you have no idea what that did to me. Oh, man, I thought, man, I'm seeing the Bible. I'm finally seeing the Bible. So that's a little bit of my personal testimony, and I wanted to give this lesson so bad for years, and I'm just happy that I finally got to do it, and thank you all for letting me do that. And I'm going to close in a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, again for this group, for each one, for the women who are so insightful and give such good guidance and instruction. Thank you for all the men and the teachers and all of the prayer warriors. Thank you for this group, Lord. Use it, magnify it in this world, and let us be a light that shines to all. Thank you again for your goodness. We pray in your blessed name. Amen.